As you know, what we've been going through these past couple of months is our Growing with God sermon series. We're down to the last two. We've got guidance this week and celebration the following week. And so there's actually two stories from this weekend that really kind of set up for what we're talking about today. And so on Friday, I was over I was helping my dad with some yard work and closing up their RV and stuff like that. And so there's two dogs that I still, when I lived there, we had them. And so Titan and Callie, and those are my babies. And Titan is the older one. He's six. And he is the type of dog that just wants to be around you. Okay, he just wants to be around you. And Callie's the type that's like, if I'm not touching you, I don't think you love me. So she's just all like, if you're in a seat, it's your seat. Like, it's the two of you seat. And she's about 50 pounds. And so, and she's actually the smaller one. But so, I kind of knew it. I mean, I did know it, not kind of knew it. The one thing she doesn't like is being picked up. But I picked her up, because I was like, I'm just going to squeeze you. I pick her up. But she starts wiggling and kicking and thrashing. And okay, I didn't drop her. She forced herself out of my hands, but she falls on her back on the driveway, but she was fine. She didn't even yelp, nothing. Got right up, just started running. She's not the brightest bulb in the shed. She started just running laps again and came back to me. I'm like, I don't even know if you know what happened, but she fell. But then, so after that, then we went and babysat. Niece and nephew stayed over the night there because there was a birthday party the next day. And so I remember, again, so these are my wife's brother's kids. So I was the new guy coming in when they're around four. And I didn't even really remember that I did this. But, you know, kids always just want to be, like, jumping on you. They want to be playing a game, like, where you're chasing them of some kind. It's just their thrill. And so I remember there was a couple times that you could tell that they were almost kind of getting kind of scared. So I sit down and be like, hey, listen, I promise I'm never going to hurt you. Like, if you're climbing on me, like, I'm never going to drop you or anything like that. And so there's an adoptee. So Jordan, I can say his name now. He's officially adopted. But so he was, again, newer to the family. So I'd been there, and then he's the new one to the family. He starts crying while he's on my shoulders. This was about a year or two ago, and my oldest niece, Eloise, comes up to me and goes, don't worry. Uncle Nick promised that he would never drop us. And so on Saturday, we're playing, and he's climbing on my shoulders, and he just runs and jumps when I'm not even, like, expecting it. So I'm trying to, like, catch the kid. You could tell he's getting kind of nervous. And then I had him, and he just looks at me, and he goes, remember, Uncle Nick, you promised to never drop me. And I just look at him. I go, have I, Jordan? He goes, no. And he smiled, and then he's just fine. So I dropped the dog but not the kid, okay? So if you thought they were similar stories, they're not, okay? So really, I'm not that bad of a guy. I didn't drop the kid. But even in these stories, we're going to start to see some different things as we go throughout this. But when we're looking even at guidance, it's going to be the practice of seeking and obeying God's direction in daily life. And so guidance is the practice of seeking and obeying God's direction in daily life. Again, we're looking at it, and this word daily is working its way into our definitions of all of these disciplines. These disciplines aren't weekly, they're not monthly or anything like that. These are daily things that we're doing to grow closer with God. And so guidance is going to be the same thing of seeking and obeying God's direction in our daily life. And guidance has to start with something else, though, first, and it's going to be our belief of God with us. All throughout the Bible, God outlines his desires, and the first desire is going to be that God is with us. And so in Matthew chapter 1, at the start of it all, this is the prophecy of Jesus' birth, and it says, then as it's coming to fruition, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So God is even now naming his son to show the world that his desire is to be with his people. In Isaiah 41, verse 10, it says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Again now, even in Isaiah, we're seeing that God has outlined that I am with you. We don't have to be afraid because I am with you. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus finishes the great commission with, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So for guidance, we have to come to this conclusion and belief and understanding that God is with us. Are we accepting of that? Do we want to believe that God is with us in our lives? And if so, are we going to choose to be with him? Because ultimately, God promises that he'll always be with us, and we know that God's promises never fail and they always are fulfilled. But do we make that decision then in return to be with him? So all throughout the Bible, we see that God's with us, but now we have to make that decision in our own lives for this discipline of guidance of, okay, do we want to be with him? Because God promises us wherever we go, how far we go, God's desire is to be with us first and foremost. So is our first and foremost desire to be with him? Or do we start to place some other things in that way? And so we're going to be looking at guidance and how it is going to be this mutual relationship between now just God and us, and how guidance leads us into a deeper relationship with him. Because God has three desires. We see that his three desires are to be with his people, to be heard by his people, and to be obeyed by his people. When we're instructing children or even other people, you know what they're to do, and you're trying to tell them to do it, and they just refuse to do it. It's infuriating. It's like, why are you not just listening to me? Just do it. My nephew, not Jordan, not the one I dropped, didn't drop. That was just a misspeak. My nephew last night had about a 45-minute battle with a small cup of milk. It was actually quite entertaining. But it's one of those things of like, dude, just drink the cup of milk. Life could be so much easier for all of us if you just drink this milk. But for some reason, he just didn't want to. But we have all of these things in life, all of these people that we even try to explain things to. People try to explain to us things, and we just don't want to listen. That God has this desire to not only be heard, but to be obeyed by his people. Because he knows inevitably what's best for us. I want you to close your eyes with me real quick. I want you to picture, since we're in fall, I want you to picture with me all of these high, we're in this huge cornfield now. Corn that's as, it's really tall. It's as tall as me, okay? It's about 6'3". And I'm just kidding. So the corn, tall, maize, okay? Close your eyes. You're in this maze. World's toughest maze. That's the advertisement of it. World's toughest maze. See, here's the thing about this maze, though. Since it's fall, all of your fears start to jump out of this maze. Whatever you're scared of, could be sharks. There could be other fears. We all have different fears, more in-depth fears, being alone. What's going to happen to my kids? What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen with my job? Snakes, spiders, they're jumping out left and right. We keep having to make these turns. So what if I told you then that through this maze, that all of a sudden I was up above. I'm up above the maze. I've got this earpiece to you. I've got this walkie-talkie to you. I could tell you how to get through that maze. You see, God wants to do that for you. God wants to speak to you. He wants you to hear him, and he wants you to obey him. Why? Because he knows where all the fake turns are. He knows what all of your fears are, yet he says, give them to me, and I will. You don't even have to be afraid because I'm with you. God wants to speak your way through the maze. See, the problem is with the maze, we all of a sudden let, you can open your eyes, we let all of these other people get our inputs. Do you know how many people come to me as a pastor with the problem seeking my input? Which, listen, God gives wisdom to people, but then they're sitting there and telling me, yeah, so I talk to my mom, I talk to my dad, I talk to my friend. Well, a couple of my coworkers think this, and I'm like, okay, let's back up. What does God say? Have we prayed about it? Well, no. Okay, well, why would we not want God's voice to be the loudest if he's the one that already knows the maze? If he's the one that already knows the path that will lead to the best place for you to be in life? See, for guidance, we're going to have to start to learn how to discern of, okay, who can speak into my life because they're close with God? Whose voice and input do I not need to give give leeway to, and how do I start to make God's voice the biggest priority in my life? Because we have to stop being people who try to wander through the maze with the advice of other people and our own thoughts and opinions. Because let's face it, I'm sure we've all been in a maze and made the wrong turn multiple times. Right back to the same dead end that we've been before. Right, all of a sudden we're like, man, I'm going in circles now. Because we keep running back to the same dead ends that we think are going to calm and silence the fears. But there's one thing in this world that will calm and silence all fears. And that's the name of Jesus Christ. And you see, the discipline of guidance is what's going to get you to a place that's going to allow you to clearly hear the voice of God and where he's directing you in your life. Where guidance is going to lead us to still the voices of the other people in our head. Where it's going to start to still the voice of all of the fears and the stresses in our lives. And make clearly the priority of God to be able to hear and obey what he's saying to us. Because all throughout the Bible we see different examples of God leading us. The first one comes in John 16:13. It says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. In Exodus 13, verses 21 through 22, it says, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. In John 8:12, we also see when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And in Psalm 119:105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. You see, all throughout the Bible, it tells us that God, the Spirit, Jesus, and God's word is what's going to lead us into all truth. So if you want guidance in your life, it's not going to come from just getting as many opinions as you can, right? When we go to like the doctor and we're like, hey, I actually don't really like what you told me, I'm going to get a second opinion, okay? What we're going to start to do is make God's opinion the first, but then also what our second and third opinions are going to be is people that we know and trust in our lives who are walking with God, who will speak to us to help us understand how God's opinion is the true one, the one that's leading us into all truth. Not just getting as many opinions as possible and going with that one. Okay, right? Let's face it, growing up all through high school, we're pursuing our crushes. We have our love interests. We're spending forever with them. And that's not a knock on you if your high school sweetheart's in here. Congratulations for you and not having to go through heartbreak, okay? But what do? When we, people in life, right? When you have those friends who tell you, right? Like, I've done this with my friends. Like, dude, she's not into you. Like, this isn't going to go well for her. Well, what do they do? Well, they got to go find someone else who's like, oh, yeah, no, dude, you got a chance. And then that's who they want to talk to because they're telling them what they want to hear. We have to stop being Christians who just want to hear what we want to hear and start being Christians who want to hear what God's speaking to them. So for that, we have to believe, okay, if I want to know what God has in store for my life, it starts with him, his son, the Holy Spirit, and his word, nothing else. Because there in those four verses, it tells us that that's what's going to lead us. So if we want to grow in the discipline of guidance, it starts with listening to God more, interacting and becoming more like Jesus, allowing the Spirit to move through us, and reading and learning God's word, of hearing and obeying it. Because God shows us then throughout all of these. Well, okay, so if God wants to lead us then, well, how can he start to speak? Well, he can't speak if those avenues aren't open. How could God lead us if we aren't reading the Bible? If he tells us that the Bible is what's going to light up our path and lead our feet, but we aren't reading it, how can we expect him to lead us? How can we hear God if we aren't even going to enter into a relationship with Jesus, his son? How can we hear God if we're not going to place ourselves in a position of worship to be transformed or in a position of prayer to be heard? So we have to make sure that these avenues are going to be open, but then also it goes back to the question at the beginning of, do we want to be with him? We know God's promise is that he's going to be with us, but do we want to be with him? Do we really want to be with him in this trusting relationship where we're willing to hear whatever it is that he's trying to say to us? The other thing we have to start to differentiate in our lives is, well, how do I know that it's God speaking to me? How do I know? Well, the things that you're going to find is that even when tough things arise, when you hear things, right, of like God saying, hey, do this, and you're like, I don't want to, you're still going to experience peace in the midst of all of it. There's still going to be clarity in the midst of all of it, of you're going to know the direction with which you are to head. And if anything God is ever telling you ever contradicts any part of Scripture, it's not God speaking to you. God's word will never contradict what he says will never contradict his word. They will never go against each other. So if you're being led into something that does not align with Scripture, it is not God speaking to you. Some of the other things that you'll start to see in life, that as you grow in the gift of guidance, and we'll be talking about it as a corporate discipline, all of us together, from that, you're going to start to even then see unity through the midst of all of it. In our elders' meetings, as we've been working and growing in the discernment in our own personal lives, putting the disciplines into practice, we start to see that when there's decisions for us to be made, we either all come in, and all four of us will be like, hey, here's what we're thinking. Yes, we all thought the same thing. Or what we've also seen happen, one of the elders will say something, and then all of a sudden we go around the room all being like, that's the most peace I felt with any idea that I even came up to mind. So it's this peace and this clarity and this unity moving forward of where God's leading. Because again, God wants to be with you. He wants to be with us. He wants to lead you. If you feel like you're completely lost, that God doesn't want to lead you, there's disconnect in the guidance, and that's what we're working on. If you don't feel God's leading you right now, that's okay. It doesn't mean that you're some lost cause or that he's turned his back. All that means is that we as a church need to come alongside you and help you to learn and understand how God's trying to speak to you and lead to you. What disciplines can you start to incorporate into your life daily to help you be able to follow God? But you see, there's going to be things that we have to give up. The things that we have to give up are going to be these distractions. All of our desires. When God gives us, when there's a selfish desire in it, but God's going against it, that's where then we have to start to figure out, of like, okay, I can't just be sitting here hearing what I want to hear. I can't just go searching for what I want to see and read so that way it fits my point. No, what is the Holy Spirit convicting me of, and how can I walk in truth in that? The distractions that we have to give up are silencing the noises in our lives. The world's going to want to try to lead you down paths. People in your lives are going to want to try to lead you down paths. But you see, the world has its own desires at heart. Other people can sometimes have your best interest at heart, but usually there's a reason for it, something that they're getting in return. So when we remove all the distractions of the noises, of the fear of the world, the other people, as we silence those, place ourselves in position to be able to hear God, remove all of our desires, it allows him to have the avenue with which to speak. We talked about the maze aspect of it, of God wants to lead you through it. That you don't have to be lost in the maze. God wants to help you get out. He didn't send his son so that way you could keep wandering through the maze. He sent his son to plow down all of the corn that you could just walk out in any way because you have full access to the presence of the living God. There's nothing cute about it. There's no gimmicks. He sent his son because he wants to be with you. He said, you know what? If I sacrifice my son and make it as easy as possible for you to enter into my presence, I'm going to do it because I want to spend forever with you. Do you want to spend forever with me? You see, I told these stories at the beginning, and they may not have made much sense at the time, but you see, we're all one of those two options. God has promised that he's with us, that he leads us. God is holding you in his hands. Are you Callie? Fighting, squirming, wanting no part of it, that you just get dropped. Not because God dropped you. I didn't drop her. She just didn't want to be held. She didn't want me to do that. So she said, I'm going to go do what I want to do. I said, okay. Or do you want to be like Jordan? The confidence, the peace, and the trust knowing that the one whose hands you're in will never drop you. He will always protect you. He will always be providing for you. He is Jehovah Jireh. You have to make that decision. Do you want to be held and trust and know that you are protected and comforted? Or do you want to keep fighting? Because you see, let's face it, at the end of the day, none of us want to be Callie. But there's things in our lives that have made us like that. There's habits that we've picked up. There's things that we went through. Things that we learned with how we grew up. We don't want to be Callie, but we are. We're fighting the fact that God wants to hold us and lead us and guide us. But you see, we're doing these disciplines that way we don't have to be Callie. We're doing these disciplines because we all want to get to a place like Jordan where he feels comfortable knowing that God has what's best in store, that God would never do anything to hurt or harm him. So then, okay, the question is, well, how do we go about starting to become like Jordan, trusting that God's going to guide and lead us? Well, what we see then is that the other disciplines inevitably lead to this. What we see from guidance is that meditation gives God a place to dwell, prayer gives God a place to speak, and worship places ourselves in a spot to be transformed. You see, if we're giving God a place to dwell in our hearts and our minds with his scripture, through what he says, through Jesus' teachings, if we're giving God a place to speak through prayer, silencing all the noises and allowing God to speak, we've cleared everything out, God's speaking, or we filled our minds with the scripture, eliminated all of the distractions, God's speaking, but then worship is placing ourselves and saying, okay, God, what do you need to transform into me? The only option through doing these three things is that God's going to guide you. That God is going to speak to you of what he's calling you to, of what he's saying, if you give this up in your life, I promise you, it gets better. If you trust me in this, I will provide even more. If you obey me, I will bless you more than you could ever begin to understand in the people around you. See, God's blessing to Abraham wasn't for Abraham, it was for all of his future generations. We walk around thinking, man, God bless me, but no. What if our desire was God bless my family? God bless my future generations. What if we started to make that flip? It starts to happen as we begin to dwell. God begins to is a place to speak, but then also a place to be transformed. That as we begin to do those three things, we start to see our lives change from being a Callie who's trying to fight being held by God to becoming a Jordan who experiences just the joy and the peace and the hope that comes from the God who wants to lead you into his full blessings and provisions. So how then can we start to go about this? Why on earth would this be placed in the corporate disciplines that we've been talking about? Because you see, we already read it, where there was the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. You see, all of God's people had come together knowing that God was their God. And so for us then, that God has a desire not to just speak to me and lead the church. God has a desire to bring about unity and clarity to each and every one of us. That as we all collectively grow in how God leads us in our own personal lives, we're going to start to see how God's going to start to collectively move as a church. In Matthew 18, it tells us that, again, I tell you, that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. You see, Jesus here was giving his disciples the assurance that if you come together in my name and allow me to lead to you, my will be discerned. You will be able to tell what's happening. It also then leads to unity of, hey, we're all on the same page because God's leading. We've all just said, you know what? Forget all of our desires. Forget the power and the title, whatever our position is. We're just going to humbly seek what God is leading us to. What we also see then from Acts 4, 32 and 33, it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. So what we're going to start to see then, as a result of healthy corporate guidance, is unity, power, and grace. Imagine a church that could separate itself, because how many people come in with the church hurt? They've been hurt by pastors, other people at church. But imagine if we could be a place that was distinguished by its unity, distinguished by the power of the Holy Spirit moving throughout the church, but then also God's grace running rampant throughout it. That you didn't have to fake anything. You didn't have to pretend everything was okay, but that God's grace would cover it all. Just imagine a church and the difference that church could make, not only in the lives of the people there, but the lives of the people in the community. Where we could start to truly be a difference if we said, you know what, we want to see guidance in our own lives, but also as a church. Because you see, God's ultimate design, going back to the Old Testament with the Israelites, was that he would be the God that the people would follow. They wouldn't follow kings, they wouldn't follow judges, but that they would be his people, that he would lead them and they would obey him. You see, all throughout, you ever talk to anyone that's gone to church a long time, you see, anyone will say, you know what, we need to be an Acts 2 type church, because look at what they do. Look at what they do. They're doing all of these things together. They're in unison. They're doing fellowship. They're praying. They're preaching powerfully. Thousands are added to their numbers daily. Then it goes on here, two chapters later, even in Acts 4, looking at this. You see, the problem is, we don't have people who want to do the work to get there. You think Acts 2 and Acts 4 type churches happened because people showed up once a week? No. Those types of churches happened because they sought out daily guidance from the Lord. Daily they were saying, Lord, transform us. Lord, your word says this, speak to me. If you read that passage and think, man, imagine if a church could come together with everything that they have. Imagine with great power we continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, what a dream for a church to be like that. What starts if we want to make the decision to have a daily discipline to follow God? Where we say, you know what, God, nothing else matters as opposed to following you. So here's what we're going to do. To close out service, we're not going to worry about the last song. Worship team just exhaled. But what we're going to do is simply this. We're going to take 30 to 60 seconds. We're going to sit silently. And all we're going to simply do, we've placed ourselves through our worship, through the message, in a place to be transformed. We've filled our mind with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, giving God a place to dwell. So now what we're going to do through these next 30 to 60 seconds of silence is simply give God a place to speak. What is he speaking to you? What is he guiding you to? What's he telling you to give up? Is it a position? Is it something that you're doing in your own life? Is it a sinful habit? Is it just something that's taking up all of your time? Is it something that's reorganizing your schedule? It's become your idol. It's your priority. Is there something that you're leading that you just don't experience the joy in anymore? Is it you want freed from that? What is it that God's speaking to you? So in these next 30 to 60 seconds, we're just going to simply say, here I am, Lord, speak. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God who speaks. Lord, we thank you that you have challenged us, that you have convicted us. Lord, may you now give us the peace and the clarity to move forward and the boldness with which you are challenging us to leave behind. Lord, we're done with these fake turns in the maze. We're done with the fears controlling where we go. Lord, may we allow you to speak and lead to us and help us make all of the turns to get to where you are calling us and creating us to go. So we thank you, we love you, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.